You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Things They Didn't Tell You. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Psalm 66, verse 16 says, Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for me. Today, you think of your father, and I think of mine. So let me tell you what God has done for me through my father. People often come up to me and say, I heard your father preach. They are thinking of Dr. Walter A. Meyer, the founder of this program. When people say, I heard your father preach, I chuckle and say, I did too, but it wasn't in church. You see, Walter A. Meyer wasn't my father. Arthur P. Meyer was. I carry my father's name, Dale Arthur Meyer. But it's more than his name that I carry. There are attitudes and traits, habits and personality quirks given to me by my dad. I'm sure some of them are genetic, but many of them were learned through the years. Things that my hero did, I picked up, and they're part of me to this day. No, Father was not a preacher. For most of his working life, he was a milkman. He was usually up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and Mom would get up too and see him off. We kids, Dale, Bruce, and Pam, were able to sleep a little longer, at least until it was time for the paper route. We delivered the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times. I remember that many mornings I woke up before I had to, because I felt Dad gently tucking me in before he left for work. He wasn't one to talk about feelings very much. But so many little things, like tucking me in before he left, told me, without words, how very much he loved me. My father kept Ephesians 6, verse 4. That verse says, Fathers, don't make your children bitter about life. Instead, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. Now that verse presents every father with two choices. The first is to make your children bitter about life. If you were raised with the King James Version, as I was, and that's another memory. I went to Lutheran grade school, and every night I'd have to recite my memory work to Dad or Mom. Memory work in the King James, which says, Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The first choice presented to a father is the way of wrath or bitterness. Authors Glenn Taylor and Rod Wilson have studied anger in the original Greek text of the New Testament. About Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, they say, when Paul is writing to parents in Ephesians, he encourages them not to exasperate your children. In other words, do not have a style of discipline that disempowers children and makes them frustrated. To do this is to embitter and discourage them. This is not the boiling, turbulent commotion of anger, but the internal experience of irritation that occurs in the presence of others' behavior. Have you chosen that kind of parenting? When your children bring home a report card with some good grades and some bad grades, do you focus on the bad grades and say little or nothing about the good grades? When your daughter or son muffs a play in a sports game, do you let them hear about it on the ride home? Do you shout from the sidelines in a way that makes your child know you are supportive, Or do you shout in a way that makes your child think, I can never measure up to what Dad or Mom expect? Do you show up for their events at all? Have you chosen the lie that quality time can replace quantity time? Several weeks ago, I interviewed Rob Parsons. Rob is a man my age who began his professional career as a fast-track lawyer. He'd wake up in the morning and speed off to work because there were cases to win, money to make, and a reputation to establish. When he'd come home at night, he'd be tired, understandably. So when his two children wanted his attention, he'd give it to them, but in a tired sort of way. However, when a client called late at night, he became a new man, reinvigorated, totally enthralled with the phone conversation. The kids noticed that change in his behavior. When Rob realized what message he was sending to his children, he made a change in his practice of parenting. Today, he is a fine father who loves and is loved by his children. What kind of parenting have you chosen? Are you exasperating your children? Colossians 3:21 says, Fathers, don't make your children resentful, or they will become discouraged. God only knows the answer, but I wonder how many of the violent acts of young people in the United States go back to parenting that left children feeling frustrated, resentful, and harking back to the King James translation, provoked to wrath. The other choice for fathers, according to our verse, Ephesians 6 verse 4, is to bring up our children in Christian discipline and instruction. That choice, as I've called it, really starts with something that was not your choice. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 16, You didn't choose me, but I chose you. From all eternity, God set his eyes on you, father, mother, child. God set his eyes on each and every one of us. Before you were born, God intended to share with you all his blessings of faith and hope and love. But because each of us is born with original sin, a sin inherited from our parents that makes us rebels against God, a sin that our parents inherited from their parents, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, who chose against the ways of God. Because each of us is born with original sin and commits actual sins every day, God sent His Son Jesus into the world to be our substitute and pay the price for all sin by his sacrificial death on the cross. Today, this Jesus, raised from the dead and ascended, sends his Holy Spirit into the world with the good news that there is forgiveness, there is hope, there is love. And a Christian parent, I mean a truly Christian parent, not someone who lightly says, Yeah, I guess you'd call me a Christian. A truly Christian parent knows that he or she has been graciously chosen by God. You didn't choose me, says Jesus, but I chose you. I have appointed you to go, to produce fruit that will last. There is no more honorable profession in our society than to be a parent who strives to produce fruit that will last. That is, to raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My father strove to do that. The nurture and admonition of the Lord are high-sounding concepts, and I'm not going to go into some lengthy explanation in theological jargon. It comes down to this. First, a father should teach his children the difference between right and wrong. For a parent, the true difference is known from the Ten Commandments and from the other teachings of God's Word, the Bible. My father did that. Whenever I had done wrong, he would say, You dasn't do that. That strange word, dasn't, was a clear signal to Dale to start flying right. And second, my father taught me to know the forgiving and encouraging love of God. I should say that my mom did that too. They were partners in parenting. It wasn't so much that my dad gave me the words about forgiveness and hope. It was evident in his actions. He made sure that we had a Christian education. We knew that he stood behind what our minister and teachers taught us. He provided for us. And he let us know that we had a place in his heart, and we were always welcome to go to him. Now, I'm telling you this not only to pay my due respects to my father, as many of you are doing today in your own thoughts. I'm sharing a little family history because many young parents these days don't get it. I'm struck by how many young parents are keeping bookstores in business by buying the latest How to Be a Parent book or tape. The underlying assumption seems to be that you get the right person to tell you the right thing and you'll do right by your kids. It's all right to read those books. They can contribute to your parenting skills. But I have titled today's message, The Things They Didn't Tell You, because the techniques of experts, helpful as they are not the most essential ingredient in making a good parent. Our oldest daughter, Elizabeth, graduated recently from law school at the University of Missouri. She has moved to Chicago to study for the Illinois Bar, to get a job, and to live the life entrusted to her. I stumble on that last part. I just can't get it through my head that it's her life, not mine. When the Soviet Union was collapsing, I could not understand why she was not riveted to TV the way I was. "Don't you realize how important this is?" I asked. "Yes," she replied. She did, too. She's no fool. Dad had fallen into the trap awaiting every older generation, judging her reactions by mine, trying to tell the younger generation everything they should think and do. Just as the experts can't tell parents everything about parenting, there's much that the older generation cannot tell the younger generation. Each generation has to handle different things. Different, but just as grave as the Cold War and Vietnam that shaped us boomers. Our equals, that's what our children are. While the Fourth Commandment, age and rank have given us some authority over them, it's fading fast. Dad, Elizabeth once said, we'll only tell you what we know you can handle. So it should be. Shaped by unique experiences, they are not ultimately living their lives before us, but before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, all of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil they have done while living in their bodies. Some of life's dearest lessons are caught, not taught. Whether it's my Elizabeth or your children, the best we can give them is quantity time filled with the love and hope that leap from our own sincere faith. This is the most essential ingredient in parenting. Without it, the well-advised techniques of experts are mechanical, sterile. Better is to love them with the same warm, embracing love with which Christ has loved us. Yes, our love for them has been imperfectly expressed through the years, sometimes plainly bungled. But a true Christian parent does love. And children know if we live in love. When my own father died, I was overwhelmed when I remembered all the little acts of love he and Mom had shown me. God's love given through them over the decades still helps me today. And we parents can speak hope. Hope in the God who makes all things new. The Lord knows we've taught them false hopes, delusions grounded in academic degrees, in our latest research, our latest purchase, our latest fad, our latest crusade for whatever tickled our itching ears. Children see through that. They can write a long list of our hypocrisies, and some of them have. What will not be lost on them is our candid honesty, speaking with them as the equals that we are. Call it personal repentance before God and spiritual candor with the new generation. Out of our repentance, the God who raises the dead can surmount our past failures. Out of His forgiveness for the things we didn't handle well, the God of resurrection kindles hope. Wilhelm Busch wrote, "To become a father is not hard. To be a father is." Oh, there are so many things they didn't tell us. But the Heavenly Father who has created parents generously gives us faith, hope, and love. That is the essential ingredient to be a good parent. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.